It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. Bill Crawford along with the head coach of the Lakers, Damon Whitten. It's Laker Hockey Talk as advertised. And Damon, we're going to Michigan State this weekend. This is always a preview show for what's coming up. And what's coming up is going to be a pretty stern non-conference test against a much improved Spartans team. What are we looking for this weekend?
Yeah, morning, Bill. Great to be on and talk a little Laker hockey. Obviously excited to head down to East Lansing. And as you mentioned, an old CCHA rival, a program that our fans and in our team knows pretty well. Obviously, they came up in our building last year, and it was a great weekend for Laker hockey that weekend, and I'm sure that'll be on the minds of those players. A new staff, so some changes down there, but those players, I'm sure, have not forgotten that game. So they'll be ready to play, and as you mentioned, they've been good. They're 2-2 on the year. They've lost both games on the road. They've won both their home games, so they're feeling pretty good at Mount Ice Arena right now, and they'll be ready to play. They've been led by a young line of Taro Harisi, Lewandowski, a freshman, and those guys have been very good for them up front to start, along with Pat Kotarenko, a former national program kid and a sophomore there. And, there's some separation. Those top three guys, I think they each have 6 points or right around that mark, and then there's a little bit of a drop beyond them. But they have guys like Sam Saliba waiting to go, Logan Lambden. Both those guys were very good players in the USHL as 20-year-olds. And, if they get on track, I think they're going to have some real balanced scoring as well. So Danton's doing a really good job. They got a little bit better structure to what they're doing playing down there. So you can kind of see that in place. And they're playing harder. And they got a little bit more tempo to their game. They're coming after teams a little bit more. They're going to be confident down at Mount Ice Arena. So it'll be a big test. And, we're coming off a road trip out to Denver and back on the road again. So a little bit of that road warrior mentality. But I know we're looking forward to getting down there.
Yeah, this is a little bit different trip. You had to make a trip similar to this one just to get to the airport to fly to Denver last weekend, and it takes a little more out of you to go into that altitude out there, and we talked about that on the hockey show on Tuesday. But Michigan State's an old foe, and a number of the players who are on this team now, the juniors and seniors, have played Michigan State a couple of times in the last few years, so they're a little bit familiar with them. And a six-hour drive is nothing really for Laker hockey. It's a good time to bond, and the Lakers probably are looking forward to this trip. It's a good atmosphere. Munn Arena, as you played there, is a very good place to play college hockey.
Yeah, great arena, great sight lines. They've renovated a lot of that, the fan amenity side of things, or the exterior with video boards and lights and, video ribbons. And so it is. It's a good place to play. They'll have the band going, and, I think crowds, we'll see how they were. They weren't great last weekend against Western, but going against March Madness and Tom Izzo kicking off, things like that. So I know they'll be working hard to build that, and Danton will get it going. I don't know what it'll be like this year, but it won't take long. Danton's a heck of a coach and been around a long, long time. So, they'll get it going there. But it's a good place to play. Obviously, our Michigan-based kids, be excited to play closer to their parents, and we'll have big crowds for them there as well. So, it's an exciting weekend. It always is. You don't get a lot of chances in our sport. It's not pro hockey where you get 70, 80 games. We don't only get so many chances to hit the ice, and we want to be ready and prepared for that. We've got a couple injuries. We'll have to have some guys emerge and step up and replace a couple of our key players. But for the most part, some of our impact players have been pretty good for us most of the year. And it's a good chance for us to kind of get going here before we get back into WCHA play.
Yeah, we don't need to go into all the details on the injuries, but let's talk about who's out right now, who cannot play on this trip this weekend. And what does that mean? That means somebody gets a chance to play. So let's use some names here.
Yeah, opportunity. We got two defensemen down, Colin Sockerman and Lucas Kybo. Will both be out. The challenge is, especially for a guy like Colin, he's a power play guy, he's a penalty kill guy, he's a big minute 5-on-5 guy. Same thing, Lucas plays a lot of power play, a lot of 5-on-5, a little bit of penalty kill. So it really wreaks havoc on your special teams. I think our power play is, either first or second in the country. It's been very good early on. And now you lose two guys who are very important on the power play. So there's a lot of changes this week in practice of trying to get guys kind of caught up to what those units are doing, both on the breakout in zone, certainly penalty kill, what we're trying to do, and in the way we, the structure we play with on those special teams units. So, you know, there's been a little bit more emphasis on those this week because of those missing pieces. But we have guys ready to play. You know, Ryan Renz has obviously played a lot of hockey here. He wears a letter for us. So Ryan will get back into the lineup, and I know he's ready to play and get back in there as well. You'll probably see 6D for us for really, I think, only the second time all season long. So that'll be a little bit of an adjustment. And I like that. I think it's good. I know we've dressed 7D because of our depth back there, but I think it'll be good. I thought Saturday at Denver, it helped some of our forwards have a little bit more continuity with our lines by dressing four full lines. You know, we have guys playing well up front. You know, JT Hanke's obviously playing very well all season long here. I thought Humitz and Gelsinger had good weekends. Diego played. Jake Handa on a Friday night in particular was really good. So they've been good. But I thought a real key to that game Saturday where, you know, it was essentially, without a couple of calls to put us down 5-on-3, we're tied going into the third period 1-1. But Ian Johnston, Brian Basilico, and Brendan McKay was their best game of the year as a line. And, you know, it's really been two of those guys spotting around a little bit because we haven't dressed four lines. But I thought our fourth line was very effective and did a really good job playing in the offensive zone, flipping momentum, things like that. So, you know, we look forward to them to keep going. And, you know, I know we're looking more Michigan State, but we talked about it Tuesday. I think we'll be the only team all year to go into Denver and either be tied or leading five of the six periods. Again, without that 5-on-3, it's probably all six periods. You know, the game gets away from us late Saturday with an early third period goal, and they climb a little bit at a couple late. But, you know, I thought it was a resilient weekend by our bunch with the odds stacked up. Sockerman didn't play Saturday. Lucas goes down Saturday early. You know, and our backs were against the wall a little bit, and I thought our guys played hard and tough, and I thought we learned a lot about what we need to do to be successful, no matter who we're playing. So we're hoping those lessons apply Friday night at Munn.
Another positive aspect coming out of the Denver series, great goaltending. I think Merrick's Mittens is showing that he can play at this level. He's had a couple of good games now in the last couple of weeks. He played very well against Michigan Tech in the Saturday night game. And Nick Kossoff was just outstanding on Friday night, 63 saves, a lot of rubber being thrown around there, but he set a record for Laker goaltenders for saves in one game, and he was named goaltender of the week in the WCHA. So you got a couple of good goalies here who can give you some minutes this week.
Yeah, it's great to see. I mean, we've always been a goaltending school. That's been a staple of Lake State, is having strong goaltending and great goaltending, quite honestly. And so it was great to see. You know, Nick has stuck with it. He had a good start, then maybe a game or two where he let in some goals that he would have liked back. So great for him to bounce back. He was outstanding on Friday. And even after a shaky start, he kind of mishandled the puck early that almost went in, and that's really hard to recover from. So, you know, to me, that was one of my favorite parts of Nick's performance, is after, you know, mishandling a puck early on, he was able to calm himself back down and get back into the game and claw around, and he was great. Well-deserved honor to be goaltender of the week. And Merrick's in the first period on Saturday made some just unbelievable saves to keep it a tie game and let us get that 1-0 lead. You know, he's played very well, and the late goals, nothing he could do. They were kind of cross-ice goals, backdoor kind of situations. So I like where we're at goaltending-wise. I think it's kind of played out very well early on. We've got great competition. You know, we haven't talked a ton about what we'll do this weekend yet, but, you know, my guess is both those guys will see some action, and we'll continue to allow them to push each other and make that a real strength of our team.
What's the latest word on Roman Bengert, who's the freshman goaltender? He was having some eligibility issues last we talked, and then Cooper Lukenda he's a good pusher in practice. He's been a good third goaltender for 2 years now, and he provides competition where they've got to be sharp every day.
Yeah, Cooper's doing a good job. You know, Cooper came out of Shattuck directly in, which is a little bit of a different path than some of these guys who play to the 20 years old and get some more experience. The challenging part for Cooper was he went down with an injury and missed most of last year. So, you know, he's already a young goaltender coming in, and then he missed a lot of the year for development. But he's improved a lot. He's doing a good job, and, you know, he's right there pushing and in the mix. So, you know, we like that from him. Roman was is not eligible at this point through the NCAA, just some different things with his path coming out of Nova Scotia, kind of a non-traditional NCAA market. You know, some of the things they did, the NCAA didn't rule in favor. So we'll work on an appeal for Roman and just kind of see where that process goes. You know, again, he's been good early on. I thought especially early when this goaltending battle was a little bit more wide open, you know, he was right in that mix and was one of our better performers on some days. So, you know, very strong goaltender as well. So it's a strength of our team right now, but Roman is not eligible to compete in games. He does practice with us every day.
You know, you talked about Denver and you don't think anybody will be any tougher than the Lakers were against them all season at their home ice. They're one of the best teams in the country. Let's face it. They got 3-4 kids in their lineup who could be in the NHL right now. Certainly two for sure. And their goaltender is one of them. He's a very good goaltender. So that's probably as good a team as the Lakers are going to play all year. And you accounted pretty well for yourselves there. That has to help with confidence too. I know we're 1-3-2 right now overall, but we've had some tough tests and it's a building process. Last year, I think we started 5-1 and then we kind of didn't play so well after that. So let's hope we're headed in the right direction here.
Yeah, it's a little bit the opposite. We've talked about all those angles as a team. I think we were 6-0-1 to start last year and, you know, best power play in the country. I think we're leading the country in offense as well. And, you know, and we know how that ended. It wasn't good. So we'd like to be a little bit better with our record. I know our opponents, I think, are like 10-4-2. We've played a really good, strong schedule and, you know, most of that on the road. So that's been a little piece of it. But one thing we talked about Saturday post game back at the hotel before we woke up early and traveled home was Wayne Gretzky's story when, after losing their first Stanley Cup, when he walked by the New York Islanders locker room, he thought he'd see this great celebration and everybody, you know, enjoying the moment and partying. And what he saw was ice bags and fatigue and you know, guys who ultimately, you know, sacrificed everything on the ice, blocking shots and just left it all out there. And, you know, that's how we were. We had a couple injuries. We were ice. We were sore. You know, we really went through a tough battle and laid it all on the line. And you know, that was our teaching moment and our points. That, guys, that's what it has to be. No matter if it's Denver, Michigan State, Huntsville next weekend, that is the way you have to play every single night to give ourselves a chance to be successful. So I think there was a lot of learning through those the tie and then the tough loss on Saturday. And, you know, we will improve. We'll get better. You know, Max Humitz got up and said, you know, we have a chance to be a very, very good team, but we've got to correct some areas. And, you know, part of that was goaltending a little bit earlier on. Those I think easily one or two of those losses could be flipped to a tie or win with some of the goals that were let in. And, you know, our goalies learn. Now they're playing. They're pushing and competing. So, I, you know, you never love where you're at. I don't care if you're undefeated. You're probably still not happy. So I'd like our record improved a little bit, but I do think we're taking strides and getting better and really the exact opposite of last year where nothing went wrong. We got all the puck luck. We generated easy offense. This year, we're not getting the bounces and breaks. I'm a big believer that you make your own breaks in this game. We're getting there, and I think we're going to be more than fine. And again, Friday is going to be a big task to get back on track. We want to start stacking some wins together going back into league play. So it's a really important weekend.
Yeah, we do get a chance to play at home in a couple of weeks. Actually, less than 2 weeks from now, we'll play Anchorage here in Sault Ste. Marie the first weekend in November. Then we go right back on the road again. You just talked about Huntsville. Huntsville upset Michigan Tech at Tech last weekend. It looks like the Chargers are going to be a tougher test than they've ever been. The coach has finally got them playing the way he wants them to play. And we got Bowling Green on the road in here somewhere too coming up in the near future. And then we're at home for a while in the month of December.
Yeah, it's never easy. And I, you know, obviously it's easy to look at a calendar and say, hey, you're going to Denver. That's a big test, a big game. But, you know, it's college hockey. And you see in college football, you see in pro sports quite a bit now too that there's parity. If you don't show up and play your best game, and it's not just, you know, your two or three, your best guys, your goaltender, it's everybody. Everybody has to be ready to play, playing within the system and structure that we put in place and, you know, sacrificing to be successful. So if you don't have everybody going, it's going to be tough to win games in any league, at any level, just the way the parity is in this game right now. So, you know, we're learning those things. We're getting better. Again, I thought guys like Basilico, Johnson, McKay, you know, that's what we needed. We've been trying to get our bottom six or our, you know, some of our depth lines to play a little bit more consistent, to have a bigger impact. Those guys are going, our goaltenders are going. So, you know, I like where we're headed. And, you know, again, you get to drop the puck Friday night, tomorrow night, and get a little bit better feel for where you're at once again.
All right, we're going to take a break here. It's Laker Hockey Talk this morning on ESPN 1400. You've got Damon Witten, Bill Crawford. We'll be right back after this on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Second half of our Laker Hockey Talk this morning. It's Thursday in Sault Ste. Marie. Teams on the bus and headed for Michigan State a little bit later today. And that'll be a good trip. It's not a tough trip, Damon. It's a good time of year to be on the bus and make a trip. Well, winter hasn't quite set in yet, although it's been threatening here in the Eastern UP the last couple of days. But Michigan State will be a tough test. They've got a lot of kids that are hungry to play for the new coaching staff there, and they'll try to make their mark here and make amends for getting beat twice up here in Sault Ste. Marie last year.
Yeah, well, it's a proud program, obviously a great history, and you know, they're going to come back. Like you mentioned, there's a coaching change there as well, so there's a lot of kids out to prove their roles and win spots and play the right way. So I think there's always typically a boost coming in with effort and commitment level, things like that. So they've been good at mine. You know, their top line is a young guys, but they've been very, very good for them. Dangerous, skilled, things like that. They're a young team, maybe the only team in the country that has less seniors than we do. So they do lack some experience in some areas, but they've been good. They've been very solid to start the year and taking care of home ice. So again, we got to go in and try to work hard to get some matchups and some guys to emerge with the losses we have there. We want to make sure we have guys ready. Ryan Renz knows what to do and can give us a great game and a great weekend, and that's the expectation for him to go in there and the other guys to step up and replace those lost guys and have a great weekend.
Lakers have gotten some really strong performances early this season out of forward units that have done, for the most part, a good job. They've scored some goals. The Cuglietta line, the Hanke line have accounted well for themselves, but the line of Hampus Erickson with Braden Gelsinger and Max Humitz, I thought, really played well on the weekend. I listened to that game on Friday night. I heard their names a lot. They did account for two goals in that game. You were up 2-0 at one point, and I think Gelsinger and Humitz were the goal scorers. But that's been a pleasant surprise for the coaching staff, although not really surprising. You got a couple of pretty good wingers there. Gelsinger kind of tapered off after a good start last year, but he's right back where he was early last season.
Yeah, you know, and we'll probably screw things up because we've made some adjustments to some of those lines, as coaches like to do. We like to tinker, and, you know, you mentioned the record before the break, and part of that's when you're looking at the record and, you know, are we getting enough offense? Are we good enough defensively? You know, sometimes you probably, I don't know about sometimes, you probably always overthink it because it's a pretty, you know, you never really get the lineup out of your head. You're always kind of thinking who can play with who. I know, you know, one of our line combinations that you'll see on Friday night was a line combination we used in Omaha last year that was very, very good for us that weekend and a couple more weeks after that. So there's been some tinkering and some adjustments. I still don't think we're totally where we need to be. For me, it's a lot more of our defensive responsibilities from our forward group. You know, we're cheating too much to offense and giving up way too many odd man rushes. So we've been trying to do a lot of teaching and practice habits of playing on the right side of pucks and making reads where we can't give up odd man rushes. So that's going to be you know, more about our line combinations moving forward, is who's going to play the right way defensively. It's a funny game. It's a great game and a funny game, but typically those guys who play the right way are the ones who get rewarded. When you're above pucks, when you're on the D side, all of a sudden you're the one that gets the scoring chance or the goal, things like that. So Been a big point of focus all week long, and we'll give these new lines a little bit of time to see if they can work and create some magic.
You know, we had Mike York on the show on Tuesday night, the Laker Hockey Show. He did a great job. He's fitting in pretty well. He's a kind of a quiet guy. He reminds me very much of Sean Tulare, who played at Lake Superior State. He's got that same kind of approach to the game. He's not a big talker. He's more of a guy who kind of watches what's going on, and if he goes over and says something to you, you better be listening, because he's not the kind of guy who's over there talking to you all the time. Rich Mitro, on the other hand, he's a guy who likes to talk, and he's got that personality. You got a couple of different kind of guys there as your assistant coaches. How do you feel about this staff this year, and what let's get in a different direction too. What are we looking for recruits for the future of Laker hockey right now?
Yeah, well, good balance for sure on staff. As you mentioned, you know, I think their strengths and weaknesses complement each other well, you know, and they both do a good job. Obviously, Rich and I have been together for all 3 years previously and going into this year, so a real good chemistry and feel for, you know, how we like to run things on a daily basis or weekly basis, or travel and bench management, things like that. And so that helps Mike as well, that, you know, Rich has been around and kind of has a pretty good feel for the way we try to run things around here. But, you know, two great coaches, and both bring some different areas together. And I think they've had a good chemistry early on here. So really fortunate to have them on board, and enjoying working with them and the great job they're doing, along with the rest of our support staff. Recruiting wise, like you said, it's always a moving target. You know, on paper, we only have the four seniors, I believe it is. So, you know, it looks like a small class. Well, you know, no different last year. And all of a sudden, Mitch Holt signs with Anaheim. Crispin Dula signs with Washington. You know, so you want to be prepared. And I think when you look at guys like Lucas Kybo, Will Rydell, you know, Will was a little bit of a later add. We were fortunate he was still available. But I think he's a tremendous hockey player. He's been very good early on. You know, and so you have to be prepared for these defections. I mean, in some ways you can't. You know, our money or our salary cap is kind of set because we have commitments with guys planning on returning, but then there's always some surprising departures, whether it's NHL contracts or guys looking at other opportunities. So you try to stay as organized as you can and have a good list built in case you do have a departure. But we've been busy. We've had a couple of visits in. We'll have a visit next weekend as well. You know, we look at the D. We got a little bit of turnover coming up in the next year or two with the three seniors, and McCardle a year out, Sockerman another year or two out. Always looking. Obviously, in net on paper, you know, we're a couple years out on a goaltender. If there's no surprises there, and then up front, same thing. We only have JT Hanke, and we've got a couple guys out there either signed or committed, and you know, when they're over ready, we'll look at bringing those guys in. I think the, you know, the challenging part as coaches are when you have these early commitments, as everybody does now, everybody wants to come in next year. They're always, you know, they're ready to come in. They want to come in, even though you talk about time frames and being over ready. So you balance that, and you want to maintain your relationships to make sure, you know, they understand the opportunity here at Lake State, you know, what's going on, what we have available. And again, you want them to come in and be successful. You know, they're some of the guys that are committed early. There's a reason why they're committed early. We believe in them. We think they're impact players. And we want to make sure when they get to campus that there's an opportunity for them to impact the team and that they're ready to do that. So that's kind of that whole process. And we're, you know, watching a lot of games, whether it's online or, you know, still out recruiting. We just continue to attack that on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah. Are all three coaches on board for Michigan State this week? We don't have somebody who's off recruiting this week, do we?
Yeah, we'll all travel down there. And again, a lot of that's based on, you know, what we need to see. And certainly when there's you know, a big midget showcase, things like that, it's a great opportunity for somebody to go out and catch a lot of hockey. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike was supposed to be on the road last weekend, but with the birth of his son, he had to cancel that trip and stay with Amy and the family, which is, you know, great. We're excited for Mike and to add Connor to the Laker hockey family. But yeah, we will all be with the team this weekend and kind of, you know, continue to look at schedules and who we need to see and make a recruiting plan based on that.
Yeah, this weekend for you and Mike, it's going home. You both played at Michigan State. I think you played after Mike, or you played with him for maybe a season or so when he was finishing up. He went on and played at a very, very high level. You got into the coaching game, and now you're the head coach, and he's the new guy on the block with the assistant coaching. But I think he discovered last year when he went back to school at Michigan State that he really likes the coaching end of it, likes working with the young guys, trying to make them better players.
Yeah, Mike and I played together 2 years. He's actually younger than me, but he was such an elite talent that he went to school, actually fast-tracked and went in a year early. So although I'm older, he was there ahead of me because I didn't have that talent set. And, you know, more of a depth guy and a little bit of a later recruit, especially for, you know, for back then when recruiting was all a little bit later. But you know what? For me, I've been back a handful of times. Obviously, state came up. So it's really changed. The first couple times, I remember even going back to Wayne State, the first time going on that opposite bench was strange, and it's just a different feeling. But, you know, still love the place. I've got 2 degrees from there, and it's, you know, it's a great place. Nothing but positive things to say about my experience under Coach Mason. But it's, you know, it was a long time ago now. So I'm just going back to try to get our team a couple wins and put guys in a position to be successful. I think for Mike, it'll probably be a little bit different. His first time back on that bench, and, you know, the emotions are a little bit ratcheted up, and, you know, I'm sure he wants to win badly and, you know, prove his mettle over here. So yeah, it's always a little bit interesting going back there. You know, for me, I'll have a lot of family around, and it'll be nice to see, you know, parents, nephews, things like that, just like JT and other Michigan guys. It's always, you know, a nice weekend when you got family around to help that, but it puts a little different pressure on. You know, you want to make sure you're playing well and you're prepared, and, you know, you represent Lake State well. And I know our guys are, we're ready to play. We understand the task at hand, and, you know, I've liked our approach this season so far, and we have good leadership in that room to have us ready.
Yeah, this is a big weekend for some of the guys who are from the state of Michigan. You mentioned Hanke a moment ago. He's a guy who'll probably have 30, 40 people wanting tickets for this game. And, you know, there aren't that many comp tickets anymore, so I'm sure they'll be buying a few. But that's the way it is for down here in this area. We've got these Michigan kids, and there'll be a lot of interest in it. It's exciting for them, too, to go in and play in the Big Ten Ice Arena and get all the family there, too.
Yeah, it always is. I mean, there's always a special onus, and you know, to do that, like you said, there's a little bit of, there's some distraction there that we try to manage as well. You know, we've got the ticket list completed for the weekend. We've already tucked that away, so it's one of those weeks where, again, for those kids, you know, when you go to Minnesota, it's Gage Terrell and the Minnesota guys, and, you know, wherever you go, you know, you want to kind of manage those distractions. You know, get your tickets done early, guys. Let's focus. We jump on the bus here shortly. It's going to be just a singular focus on being prepared Friday night, you know, get a good skate later tonight, but, you know, minimize distractions, be ready to play hockey. And but there's some demands for those kids to try to accommodate family and friends, and you know, we do the best we can to manage that, but you know, let's make sure we're ready to play hockey. Their best moments, they'll enjoy it if we get a win Friday night. That's the way mom and dad will have fun.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting weekend. We'll have both games on Yes FM, one of our other stations here at Sovereign Communications, and we'll come back next Thursday morning. We'll do this again, Damon. We got the Laker Hockey Show on Tuesdays. We stay pretty busy with the media side of things, and you've been really good about that since you took over as head coach here at Lake Superior State. It's not easy. It's a distraction for a coach to have to go do the media stuff, but it's how we stay in contact with our fans, and that's pretty important.
Well, I love it. You and I talk about it all the time. It's amazing how quickly this goes. You know, you think an hour every Tuesday that it might drag on, but it's unbelievable how fast that goes. I could sit here and talk 2-3 hours hockey with you. So, you know, enjoy it. And I know from a school side of it, our new sports information director will be on campus, I think, next week. So it's really nice. Our athletic administration is in place. You know, we've talked a little bit about David Pateson, and we'll have to get him on in the next couple of weeks here and let David talk. I think he's going to be, you know, really tremendous asset for Laker athletics and for Laker hockey in particular. You know, but getting Hunter Perry in our marketing ticketing position, the new sports information director. So it's nice. You know, it's late, and it's too bad in some of those areas that it happened so late, but I think it's good that David got to bring his own people in and, you know, kind of have a fresh slate to reattack this. I think our community is going to see a lot of really positive things in terms of the marketing side of things, the corporate relationships that David brings. And so I think it's really good, again, for Laker hockey and for the athletic department.
All righty. That's another Laker Hockey Talk. Damon, thanks for doing this. Good luck this weekend at Michigan State. We'll talk again next Thursday morning. Laker Hockey Talk, a presentation of ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.